Look, what's wrong?
I just can't believe Ben's gone.
Oh. Did the 80-year-old man you just met yesterday die? I mean, sorry if I didn't notice. I was a little busy thinking about my entire family and the other 2 billion people from Alderaan who were just vaporized into dust about 3 hours ago.
And now, two guys who just can't believe Ben's gone.
It's Mos Eisley Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Mos Eisley Radio, episode 9, in fact. I'm just one of your hosts, Brooks Guthrie. Joining me, as always, the venerable, the beautiful, Zach
the
Brown.
What?
I don't know.
What's up, dude?
I think that means you're important. I'm doing not too bad.
Yeah,
got that mid semester blues where I'm just lazy and don't do anything.
So it's like senioritis post high school,
something like that. Something, yeah,
like, I haven't told you about my recent gambling story, have I?
Okay, let's start off the episode with a gambling story. Let's go.
So a couple weeks ago, I went with some friends to the casino that's south of here, and we were having fun. I was like playing roulette, and you know I was doing okay. Going up and down, up and down, and at the end of the night, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to put $20 on one number.
Okay.
So I gave the lady $20, and I'm like, I want it on red 5.
Okay.
And so she's nice. Like, all right. And she puts, you know, she gives me the token. She puts it down on the table, spins the roulette wheel, and drops the ball in, and it lands on the space right next to red.
No.
Corbett, my roommate that went with me about how to fit, he was like, what made you want to put on red 5? I was like, dude, it looks like I walked his call sign.
Red 5 standing by.
Why else would I do red 5? He's like, huh?
Oh, man, it makes me wish I hadn't already used that intro.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Anyways, people probably aren't tuning in to listen to us talking about gambling, though. And that leads us to our news from the Galactic Republic this week. So here we go.
This just in, Terrace is under attack by a Sith fleet.
The Sith Empire is now a serious threat for Pace.
As the war presses on, the Mandalorian blockade stands.
Citizens and dignitaries are urged to seek shelter as the planetary bombardment continues.
News from the Galactic Republic this week. Jedi has been added to the HoloNet.
So, who here? Raise your hand if you're shocked about this announcement. Okay, well, I don't have my hands raised.
Yeah, me either. This has been a long time coming. For so long, the developers have basically told us that the Jedi was in the game. It's just only now that we're getting the real life confirmation that it's in, and here's kind of what it looks like, and here's what he's doing. You know, I had an interesting discussion with Sir Desmond Christian, who we had on last week. Yeah, or not last week, but last episode.
Last episode.
Yeah, and he was talking about how he was kind of disappointed that this was the announcement. And I'm like, you know, this is one of those things that they've been sitting on for a while and people have been expecting to come. And now that this has come out, you know, that kind of frees them up to maybe do a little bit of an announcement that we don't expect.
Yeah, well, I agree with that because, I mean, it's one of those things where they could... I don't have to worry about this now. So it's always... Everyone, when every Friday would approach, was like, is it going to be something we already know that's going to probably be in the game? Or is it going to be something new? Well, now, we're pretty much getting all the stuff that we've known about out of the way.
Right.
And everything from this point on is pretty much new. So, whatever. It wasn't like that... I wasn't completely like, oh, yeah, you know, excited about it. But at the same time, I'm like, I'm glad they finally went on and announced this. We all knew it was coming. And
yeah. So
tells us the interesting thing, though, is the fact that it's the Jedi Knight class. Now, Well, no, the thing I was wondering is because they already announced the Sith Warrior.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, well, would we play as a Jedi Padawan? Would we play as... Jedi Master, what kind of role would we be in, I guess, society? Oh, they're putting you as, you start off as a Jedi Knight, so you're basically already qualified to kick ass, like, the moment.
Technically, yeah.
So
I'm not sure how much semantics are actually going to play into this. I have to imagine that you're kind of starting off the story. If you are classified as a knight, then you're probably very early on as a knight. You know, like maybe just becoming a Jedi Knight once you get into the game.
I don't really know. I mean, like, they could do 100 different things with this, or you could be someone that's borderline about to become a part of the Jedi Council. I don't know if that. But I don't really think that's so much important as it is. It's obviously an advanced form of a Jedi, like a Jedi Knight is. You're not an apprentice or a Padawan or anything like that. And so you know this is going to be a pretty powerful character. It's going to be melee-driven, like most Jedi Knights are. And,
pretty much, yeah.
And so I don't really, I mean,
well,
I kind of think that this is, which somebody sent us an email, made a comment about this earlier. I kind of think this is pretty much saying that these are going to be the only two Force-wielding classes in the game.
Well, that's a discussion that we haven't actually really covered on the show is there are a number of people who think that there are a possibility of having four Force-using classes as opposed to just two. I'm in the two camp just because I don't particularly see how they can pull in another iconic type character or two more, for that matter, that are Force users that would make sense. And this kind of, along with the announcement of the Jedi Knight, Dallas Dickinson and William Wallace, two of the developers, did an interview with GameSpot, and William Wallace had an interesting answer to the
game's epic.
I know it is. GameSpot had asked him, you know, about the three different Jedi classes that were in Knights of the Old Republic, the Guardian and the two others that elude me right now. And you know, they asked that
Consular.
Yeah. Consular. They said that, you know, the Jedi we're seeing in the Old Republic is very similar to the Guardian profession. And he said, it's fair to make that comparison. Besides Force Push and Saber Throw, the Jedi Knight gets some abilities similar to the Guardian's Force Valor that gives various benefits to both Jedi Knights and their entire party, as well as the ability to wield two lightsabers at once. The Guardian profession was definitely a major influence on the concept and design of the Jedi Knight. So,
Interesting thing about this, I'm not 100% positive on my lore knowledge with this, but like the whole Sentinel / Consular / Guardian classes, really, that was something I've only heard in KOTOR, and I really haven't heard outside of Star Wars.
Exactly.
So I kind of feel like that was more of like a standard that was implemented just so that a way they could have a different type of play style amongst the different Jedi types in the game, and that a way would make sense. Because as you remember, the Consular was more Force driven, and it had a lot of like Force, like its Force bar was a lot higher.
I forget
what called the points for that, but it, basically, you use more Force abilities and things like that, and you were less about hand-to-hand combat, whereas the Guardian was like all about hand-to-hand combat in that game.
Right.
And the Sentinel was like a mixture between both.
Yeah. So I mean, what this is saying is their influence was definitely the combat-heavy of the two.
Well, I mean, that's basically what a Jedi is, though.
Yeah.
I mean, when you think about all the Star Wars movies, a Jedi, That's how he fights. I mean, he uses Force powers, but they've always been really reluctant to have the Jedi go all out and use their Force powers for offensive abilities. And in fact, you really don't even see that in the later trilogy.
Yeah, it's the earlier ones. Yeah, and we see that in the Old Republic. You know, if you look at the combat tactics tab on the Holonet page, you know, he's using Force Push against droids. He's throwing his lightsaber like you know, some of the old Jedi Academy games, and I think that was in Knights of the Old Republic as well, which is super cool. It's just not something you saw in the older games. So I don't know.
I really feel like the playstyle for the Jedi class is not going to be anything mind blowing, and it isn't going to be anything new. It's going to be pretty much like I don't feel like you're playing it to have the experience at what it's like to fight as a Jedi, because I think we've all done that hundreds of times in games prior to this. But I think really what you're playing the Jedi class for is to have to know what it's like to be like a Jedi in the society of Star Wars, and what it's like to, I guess, function in that society. So basically, it's giving you a chance to not necessarily know what it's like to fight like a Jedi, but what it's like to live the life of a Jedi.
True, but I think to a certain effect that, you know, there are going to be new people to coming to this game, and they still want to make it interesting. And, you know, from what I've seen based on like the animations and stuff, it's going to be a fun class to play from a fighting perspective. Well, they're definitely
I don't mean it's not going to be fun. I mean, don't get me wrong, but what I'm saying is, like, when we see the smuggler or the trooper or even the bounty hunter, like, we're seeing things that maybe we've never got to do in the Star Wars universe prior to this. Whereas everyone played some sort of Jedi or lightsaber wielding character at some point. We know that they have force push, some type of heal, some type of valor boost, you know, things like that. I don't really see them. The lightsaber throw is nothing new. They'll probably have some type of stun ability or daze or affect mind or something like that. So I guess what I'm saying is I don't really see them as putting a bunch of new groundbreaking abilities or concepts for the play style of the Jedi. They're going to more emphasize the story and what it's like to just be a Jedi in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah. I mean, what I did find interesting from a group perspective was him talking about, giving benefits to both the Jedi Knight and their entire party. So I think in one of our earlier episodes, we talked about the Jedi possibly being kind of like a buffing type character along mm-hmm. with the trooper. His other quote here is kind of interesting too. It says, in group combat, the Jedi Knight excels at staying at the forefront of the fight and has a number of ways to keep the battle focused on him, which is, you know, basically
tank.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Letting his allies concentrate on what they do best and also keeping any Sith lightsabers away from unarmored targets. Even if the Jedi isn't leading the group, the character is still a valuable asset to his comrade by virtue of his wide range of melee abilities and his ability to augment the party strength with force abilities and auras. Sorry, that was a terribly long quote. But it gets the point across is to you're going to be a melee class that has...
You're either going to be supportive your party. With buffs, or you're going to be tanking with it.
Yeah, I mean this doesn't really answer the long standing question of like talent trees and stuff like that, but it could kind of allude to something.
It does definitely hint at the fact that there's definitely multiple play styles for the Jedi class.
Yeah,
or at least while being in a group, that is.
Yeah. So the best thing I think that you can do is head over to the Holonet page and check out like the animations and look at the graphics and the combat videos.
This Jedi animation that they've got up on the Holonet page is sick.
Dude, I told you it was epic.
It's like a cross between some type of trooper looking guy, like it wants to be a trooper, but he's wearing a cloak.
Yeah, he's definitely beastly.
Yeah, and I love his fighting stance. He's very agile and he just looks very quick and everything about him. Did you check out the outfitting?
Yes, and we're actually going to talk about that in the next section, so let's hold off. We're talking about that in Stories from the Outer Rim. But the other part of this GameSpot article, they were talking to Dallas Dickinson about story, and I want to read you this first quote. I thought what he had to say was pretty awesome. So the Jedi Knight is based very much on Samuel L. Jackson's Mace Windu archetype from The Phantom Menace. He's a powerful force-wielding warrior who will be called on to protect the galaxy from a great evil. Players should expect to be involved in a bit of intrigue, but mostly be focused on hunting down and combating the Sith and their representatives throughout the galaxy.
Okay, that kind of puts a spin on the story I was not expecting.
Really?
But I really like the way it's spinning it. I kind of had the idea that we would be playing a Jedi character, and I would be sent to do a lot of, like, protect people... in this town or in this city, or we need you to go here and just like oversee this operation and make sure nothing bad happens.
Uh-huh. And I think that's also going to come into play at some point.
I think it's going to come into play, but I really felt like the Jedi was going to be more of a defensive type character. Like, we need you to go here and just do this. Whereas the impression I get from that quote is it's like, you're going to be powerful and we're going to send you out to, you know, have confrontations with other Sith.
Yeah.
So basically it's going to be more of an offensive type of storyline instead of a defensive, and I really like that idea. I didn't,
yeah,
I don't know, for some reason it just didn't click with me that they would do that, you kind of think of more of that aggressive of a storyline to be something that the Sith would be doing towards the Jedi, because you always hear how the Sith just want to seek out and destroy the Jedi, but it's the exact opposite. And it's like, hey, we know there's Sith here. We need you to go to this place and fight them.
Yeah.
And
well, I mean, you have to keep in mind of the time period that we're in. You know, the Jedi are on the defensive, and are basically at a point where they have to make offensive choices and actions to get anything done, and to, you know, to kind of reestablish their power. You know, they've gone and they've hidden, and they need to kind of come back and establish themselves, and that means being involved with the political figures in Coruscant, as well as, you know, doing kind of missions where you're hunting down these Sith who are trying to wipe you out.
So, I mean, obviously in the Star Wars universe, Jedi do more than just escort politicians and do things like that.
But that is a big part of what they do.
I mean, that's what you kind of think of just based off of the movies alone.
Yeah.
Luke Skywalker really didn't seek out Darth Vader to fight him. It was more he seeked him out just to try to turn him back to the light side.
Right.
And you kind of think the same thing with Obi-Wan Kenobi. It was just, he really wasn't going out looking for Sith. It was just kind of like when it happened and he was there, he was ready to fight and defend himself, but he wasn't really going out. As I recall, it's been a while since I've seen the trilogy. So, I mean, it's just not what I was expecting them, not the direction I would expect them to take for the storyline, but I do like it because it's different.
Yeah. And I think that's exactly it. You know, BioWare's masters of doing something that we don't necessarily expect them to do, and it turns out great. And the fact that we can kind of investigate this different side of the Jedi in a completely different time period that none of us are familiar with for the most part, not in the way that we are with, the original trilogy time period. So,
last quote's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. This last quote's interesting because there've been people who've asked, you know, whether or not, Jedi are, you know, Jedi normally have some kind of effect on people when they're around them, whether it be on their decisions or their actions or whatever. And with dialogue rules, some people had some questions about this. So Dallas said, many non-player characters react differently depending on the class of the player character talking with them. Some NPCs are impressed by Jedi while some don't trust them. You'll have, different experiences than if you were to play as a smuggler, for example, when talking to seedy underworld characters. And there will be some abilities that players can use to change their dialogue options.
See, that's what I was talking about earlier when I said I really feel like they're going to focus on putting you in this world as a Jedi and letting you experience what it's like to be around everyone else.
Right.
With the mindset of you're the Jedi. So you have to deal with people who don't trust you, or you have to deal with people that look at you as like this iconic hero just because you have a lightsaber and all that kind of stuff. So it's really something that could be kind of different. I don't know how it's not anything you couldn't experience in just a single player game, I guess you'd say. I don't know necessarily that the MMO experience is going to change that all that much. Although I do think it's kind of cool that you can go talk to an NPC and he'll want nothing to do with you. But if you were a smuggler and went and talked to him, he'd have like a whole different tone.
Yeah. And
that's kind of interesting.
I can't remember if it's in this interview. I'm trying to read through it really quickly. There's some interview I read. It's very possible it was this one, where they asked one of the developers, how do you feel about the name massively multiplayer, or no, massively single player online role playing game? And I think that's something that people are kind of, or that the developers are very aware of, that people still are kind of curious as to how all of this is going to come in and be what is typically an MMO. You know, like you said, that a lot of this could be achieved in a single player game. I think what they have yet to really reveal is how this is all going to play out when we're in the world with hundreds, thousands of other players. So, I mean, that's something I'm still really interested to see how they're going to integrate, you know, because they've talked endlessly about story. We're starting to see combat.
Mm-hmm.
What I want to see is how those are going to come together and provide some kind of compelling story that would make me want to pay regularly. I mean, obviously, I'm going to be playing this game, but if I'm going to continue playing the game because it's an MMO, they have to combine those in an interesting way.
Well, One quick thing I want to touch on, and you were talking about combat tactics, and I think this is what I was wanting to get at earlier, is, you know, when you look at the preview for the combat tactics on the Jedi page on the Holocron or Holonet on the Holonet page, I mean, there was nothing that jumped out as like, oh, wow, that's really cool. I've never seen that before. I mean, everything was really predictable.
True.
And I don't expect them to come out with something new and fantastic that's just like, wow.
But that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Well, I don't think, no, it's not a bad thing. And that's what I was saying, like, with this quote is, I'm more excited just to play a Jedi in this universe and have to interact with people at, like, them knowing that I am a Jedi.
Right.
I think that's going to be more entertaining, more exciting to me than just the combat itself. Although, I mean, if I want to play something that I've, like the Bounty Hunter, for instance, we all knew there'd probably be some type of like flamethrower or missile pack or something like that. And to me, I want to play that, not necessarily so much for the storyline, but just because I think the mechanics look interesting and that really draws me into it. But different things drawing me into wanting to play a Jedi, mostly because I feel like that fits my persona more than any other class. But
yeah.
I'd have to say, you know, I'm really teetering between the smuggler and the Jedi, but after seeing like just the look of the way the Jedi is, the animation, I mean, just everything about it, I'm really excited about the Jedi class, and I think that's what I'm probably going to end up going with.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, there's nothing here terribly revolutionary, but it's just that it's so iconic, and they seem to have captured that extremely well. You know, like, you pull up this page, and you see the guy going through his animations, and you're like, man, I want to do that. This guy is a badass MRF-er, and I want to see that. You know, I want to do that in real life, or in the game, whatever. Same thing, right?
Yeah.
So one other thing I wanted to mention really quick, and we're not going to break this down because we could spend forever doing it, but there are a lot of similarities in combat between the Jedi and the Sith, and that's to be expected. But if you look at the field recon tab, you know, you can see him doing kind of like a force jump like we saw with the Sith in the walkthrough video. And the combat tactics, the first, I think it's the first video, has him doing kind of like a lightsaber stab kill thing that's similar to the Sith. But like I said earlier, hop over to the Holonet. We'll have the link in the show notes. Check it out. Look it out for yourself. And I think everybody's going to be totally stoked on this class. If they weren't before, they absolutely will be now. So, yeah. Let's move on to stories from the Outer Rim.
I heard a new ship from the Outer Rim just landed in Docking Bay 94. I wonder what kind of stories they have.
You have no idea.
Stories from the Outer Rim. So the big story from the Outer Rim, we already talked about. The Jedi Knight was leaked early.
okay, this was sitting in a possible rumor because we didn't know if it was going to actually...
Yeah, while we were planning the episode, we're like, oh, is it going to be released before we talk about it? So huge thanks to Axe Factor for giving us the heads up on this.
Have you looked at this link? There's a guy on the actual forums.
I looked through it. I didn't necessarily read it detailed, but this guy has gone crazy go nuts.
Basically, there's a guy on the actual Star Wars community forums. I think his name is Rimlish.
Yeah, Rimlish.
And basically, what he's been doing is just typing in various sub-addresses to the Old Republic website. And he's come up across different websites where basically it didn't come back as an error. So it's like there's a proxy page sitting in for what something will probably be, you know, for something that'll eventually be put into that page.
Yeah.
So some of the things he's come up with was StarWars.com/info/Holonet. And then he tried a bunch of different things out. Well, he found professions, space combat, guild, story, characters, equipment, enemies, combat, and PvP.
Yeah.
All that had like working web pages.
Like there was nothing on the page. It wasn't like cannot be found.
It's just a blank page is what it is. So basically, if you try to enter in something and there's nothing, and it's not a correct page, it'll just flash something up that's like, this page cannot be found.
Yeah. Which basically translates to, this page has been made. There's content on it. They just haven't published it on the public facing site. It's somewhere.
Yeah.
They haven't
basically
published it.
What happened too is somebody somehow by, you know, randomly typing stuff. Well, not randomly, but typing stuff and guessing and seeing if they could find something else and moving on.
Uh-huh.
They came across the Jedi Knight image. And that was what was leaked on the forums. And so that was why everyone was speculating that the Jedi Knight class was probably going to get announced very soon.
Yeah.
I mean, we all knew it was a matter of time, but once we saw that picture, it just kind of confirmed it.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is kind of, it's kind of interesting. This stuff always happens. Basically, more or less, if any of you guys follow World of Warcraft, you know, the expansion was being talked about 3 months, 4 months before it was even announced. So
well, these sub pages, the only one that really interests me or kind of is like, whoa, I didn't see that coming is the one that's space combat. And the reason why I say that is, everyone has been asking, are there going to be starships in the game? Will you be able to fly? Will you be able to own your own ship? And so far, we've not been able to give anyone a clear answer, but this is the first indication that some type of space combat is possibly going to be implemented in the game at some. So, you know, that's just one more thing.
Yeah.
Kind of like.
There's hope. I mean, again, that's like I was saying, you know, they've got the Jedi post out of the way. That's really opening them up for some announcements that people have been really hankering for, like space combat and space and travel and things like that. You know, like they were talking about with the Jedi that you're going to be chasing Sith across the galaxy. You know, obviously you have to get across the galaxy somehow. And we don't know what that is. But, you know, this is, you know, just kind of hope that those things and you know, affirmations
in the game. I want to see
them. Yeah, it's coming. You know, that's what we need to keep in mind is, you know, it's definitely on its way. Just have to be patient. You know, I constantly have to remind myself that I'm doing this show, but the game is still like at least a year out.
Yeah.
But it's fun to speculate and see what's new, what's on the edge, you know, what people are finding out about. So yeah, again, thanks to Axe Factor for the heads up on the leak. And we'll hopefully be covering any other leaks that happen, not that we want to screw BioWare out of their ability to, you know, give us something new, but, you know, it's part of the community.
I got a question for you. What do you think about the idea of possibly having customized weapons, like customized lightsabers, customized hilts?
Well, yeah, that's the other thing I wanted to talk to you about. And this spurred from a discussion on our forums about people not liking the tapered lightsaber design.
Personally, this hasn't been a big issue for me.
It
stands out, I feel like, in a lot of the concept art. But I went back and, I mean, when you look at, you know, the Jedi pretty much on the Holonet page, or even the Sith Warrior, like, I'm cool with its lightsaber the way it is, and I've got a feeling that that's what it's going to look like.
I am pretty confident.
As its final result. So I don't think it's going to be near as drastic as, you know, what has been brought up on the forums. And it's pretty much like, it's almost like the lightsaber is a cone and not so much just a perfect cylinder shape all the way through. So, but the one thing I'd like to talk about more is just having customized lightsaber hilts.
I like that idea.
You think they're going to do that, or do you think that's...
Well, with the addition of the Jedi, you know, you have some of the new pictures added to the media section, and the quotes under them were pretty interesting. For the dual lightsaber picture, it said, These dual-bladed lightsabers are unique as their owners.
That kind of
could just be nothing, or it could be totally everything.
Yeah.
To sound like a Valley Girl. I mean, it's definitely a hint that there could be customization of your lightsaber in game. And God, why not? That's totally what everyone wants. You know, who doesn't? If there's anyone who is planning on playing this game, wants to play a Jedi, who hasn't even thought about customizing their hilt, why are you interested in this game? Why are you a Star Wars fan? You know, that's one of the beautiful things about Star Wars is it's this rich world, and you know, everyone inside of it is different and has their own little thing. And customizing your hilt and the color of your blade is just one of those first places that you go, oh, that's a no-brainer.
You know, the one thing that I'm really excited about is they have a couple of concept art pieces up that are basically like uniforms that you would wear as a Jedi. I wouldn't call them robes. They're definitely, well, one of them is more of a, I guess you'd say, a set of robes, but it's also it's not like your typical baggy kind of,
yeah,
like you think you're some type of a monk robe.
Yeah.
But they have this red outfit that looks awesome.
Uh-huh.
It's got like some type of red cloak on it and these red shoulders that stick out. And then it's got like a red and gold chest piece that has like some type of like kilt looking thing that hangs down over your pants. And I don't know about you, but I want to have that.
Yeah.
I just think that looks incredibly cool, and you get a matching lightsaber to go along with it. And it really gives you this whole idea that playing a Jedi, you're not just going to run around and look like just the stereotypical Jedi that you've always seen in Star Wars. And that really excites me.
Yeah. Well, the quote that goes along with that is, though traditional Jedi robes range from light cloth to thick leathers, many Jedi Knights also wear parts or entire suits of heavy armor when going into battle. So the fact that they would even mention that not only confirms that, A, we're going to have different types of armor, but B, you're going to be engaging in everything from political discussion where you might just wear your regular robes to, you know, taking on a Sith base where you need some type of armor.
And I kind of feel like the heavy armor is going to emphasize more for someone that wants to have a tanking role, where they want to have something that's going to take less damage, versus robes or, you know, light cloth is going to be something that's probably someone that's not going to be in the thick of things so much.
Yeah.
So I think that only also just confirms the fact that you're going to have the option to become more of a tank as a Jedi.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's one thing that's still kind of up in the air for me is whether or not, you're going to be taking on these different roles and wearing different sets as like a singular spec, if you will, or if you'll be doing different talent specs ideas where you'll need,
you can just do one whatever you want.
You'll need one type of armor for whatever you're doing, you know? So, I mean, what do you think about some of the design choices that they're making overall? You know, like some of people have complained about how huge the hilts for the lightsabers are, and other things like that. I mean, do you have any thoughts pro against this?
I really don't feel like, I don't know. I mean, none of this stuff has really stuck out to me. It was nothing that was just glaring that was like, oh, wow, that is just not right.
Yeah.
You know, especially when you look at the model on the Holonet page, I just feel like that is awesome. And I love everything about that. I have no complaints with it. That's me personally, but it looks like what I would consider a futuristic Jedi, even though it's in a historic Star Wars
period,
which is the ironic thing about it.
Well, I mean, the galaxy changed so drastically much between this time period.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're talking multiple thousands of years.
So. Exactly. So I think that's one thing that always trips people up is, you know, when you watch some of the prequels and, you know, play a game like KOTOR, is there's all this technology everywhere and everything's so advanced. And then you watch like the original trilogy.
Yeah.
And you're like, where did it all go?
Yeah. But, it's supposed to be more advanced at this point. But I can understand why a lot of Star Wars purists aren't happy with some of the stuff just because they want everything to stay the same. It's because the Jedi you think of as being this unchanging icon over the entire Star Wars history. So it's not going to be something that's got a lot of variance to it. And
yeah, but
basically, you would think of the Jedi that is in Return of the Jedi is exactly the same thing as the Jedi that is in the Knights of the Old Republic time period, and they could swap places with each other and exist in their new time periods like nothing ever happened.
Yeah, so. But that's totally not what it is, and that's what I love about the Jedi. You know, they're this strong force in the universe, but even they have had so many changes in their story, and you know, they've gone through so much, but have still managed to remain relatively same in their concepts and their ideals. which is one of the many draws that people have to the Jedi character. I mean, I definitely plan on rolling a Jedi at some point. It's probably not going to be my first, but I'm definitely stoked on this guy.
Let's face it, you're holding out for the Princess Leia archetype.
Yep, you want to be pretty much belly dancer.
Belly dancer, is that what you said?
Yeah. As long as they're including some kind of entertainer person, I'll definitely be rolling that. Female, preferably Twi'lek, but you know, who's counting? So our poll of the week, which is now official. Okay, so every weekend that's like an off weekend for the episode, we're going to have like a mini episode discussing the poll of the week. And Zach, you recorded it for this past week's episode. Why don't you kind of go over the poll, what it was about, what kind of responses we got?
Okay, so basically what I was wanting to know is, what unannounced planet are you wanting to pretty much be announced at any point, any given time? And so we had a list of choices, and other was another one. I'm going to remove other from the category just because it was number two overall, but it didn't really add up to beating anything. So the number one most popular choice was Tatooine with 29%.
Uh-huh.
I can understand why.
Oh, absolutely.
People want this because Tatooine is like the one symbol in Star Wars that represents like lawlessness and recklessness and just kind of like anything goes and you make your own rules kind of thing, just as long as you can back them up. And everything about Tatooine is just completely different than any other planet we've ever seen in Star Wars. Now, I know somebody left a comment on our website saying they couldn't understand why so many people wanted this in the game so badly, or why this was like the one planet they wanted. But I think that has to be the main reason why. I mean, really, when you think of Tatooine, it's just like two suns, a lot of sand, and maybe some rocks here and there, and a few crate dragon bones. But besides that, I mean, I think the real reason why we all love Tatooine so much is just the different spaceport cities like Anchorhead or Mos Eisley or just Jabba's Palace, things like that.
Yeah. I mean, it's a complete...
Jabba's Palace obviously won't be in here, but I'm sure they can have some type of like, Hutt Palace.
Yeah.
I'm sure going to see the Hutts.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, it's just a completely different culture than anywhere else in Star Wars that I've seen.
Yeah, you know, it's like total culture shock compared to Coruscant.
Yeah, I mean, it literally is a melting pot of the worst types of people in the galaxy.
Yeah.
And, you know, when all of them come together, that's awesome. And I have to assume that this is going to be in the
game.
Yeah,
I do too. So the number two overall with 14% of the vote was Dantooine.
Yeah.
I think that's probably where your vote would have been.
No, I was actually
in the past.
I would like to see Dantooine because it's not a planet that I've ever really explored before. I don't really know much about my vote. In
the original game, but
yeah. Well, my vote went with Kashyyyk because I just love Kashyyyk. I think it's a beautiful planet, and I love the Wookiees. And
you just like climbing trees.
That's it, because I can't do that in real life.
Number three overall was Mon Calamari, 14%. That's where my vote went.
Oh,
I think they could have a Bioshock-esque kind of underworld in certain areas. You can have like these cities that have been abandoned that are underwater, because basically Mon Calamari is just like this giant ocean planet.
Yeah.
And there's some stuff that takes place on the surface, but the majority of the action is all underneath the ocean. So you could have like these big, elaborate underwater cities that would look spectacular. You could have zones that would be abandoned cities, or, you know, something like I was saying, Bioshock-esque. That would just be a lot of fun to play in. You'd have these massive shipyards, because that's what you think of when you think of the Mon Calamari.
Yeah.
And they're just their shipping facilities and all that kind of stuff. I think that would be an interesting planet to play on, and that's what got my vote.
Uh-huh.
Next coming in next was Telos with 10% of the vote, and then followed by Kashyyyk, also with 10%, and then Bothra, with 2% of the vote.
That'd be cool.
Other mentioned in the comments section was Corellia, which I can't believe I forgot to include that.
Yeah, dude, Corellia would be awesome.
That's where Han Solo's from, and that's just kind of like another one of those smuggler-type atmospheres, things like that. I mean, there's a lot of manufacturing-type planets in Star Wars, so
Yeah, but I mean, this one is dominated by like shipyards.
Yeah,
and, you know, they made some of the iconic ships, the
Carillion corvettes.
The corvettes and the Carillion gunships, and the dreadnought. You know, those are iconic. Yeah. So I think Corellia would be awesome.
Dagobah was also mentioned.
Yeah, Dagobah, which
that'd be kind of interesting.
Yeah,
I know somebody, the guy that recommend or mentioned it, said that he would like to see some type of backstory with the cave and its significance.
Yeah, and they could definitely do that. Ilum. I don't remember how to pronounce it.
I'm not familiar with that as well.
Yeah,
although I need to brush up on my Star Wars lore.
Okay, so the story with Ilum is it's an ice planet that's home to is just covered in Aegean crystals, which are adjuvants? What?
What?
No, it's covered in crystals that the Jedi use to create their lightsabers. We're not
talking about vaccines.
Yeah, I know, sorry. It's covered in the crystals that Jedi use for their lightsabers. So there isn't much story in the history around this time period, you know, the 3000 to 2000 BBY. But I think that would be a kind of a cool planet to visit.
That would be interesting.
And then the last one was Obroa Sky, which, again, not a whole lot of history in this time period specifically, but a pretty planet to visit. So I'm going to throw links to Wikipedia for each of these planets in the show notes so everybody can check them out.
Clackador 7.
Clackador 7. I'm not familiar with Clackador 7.
That's where Biths are from.
Oh. You know what we didn't see on this list was anything from the Yavin system, you know, like
the Yavin moon would be kind of cool. I've talked about this, I think, on a prior show, just the whole Masasi ruins.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of interesting to see. I don't think the actual Yavin planet you could play on. It's just a gas giant.
Yeah, but I mean,
you know, something else. I kind of wonder if we're going to get like a Bespin or Cloud City type.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. Probably. I don't really know much of the history of that.
Yeah, I kind of figure Cloud City isn't 3,000 years old. It's just a mining operation, so you kind of feel like it. That's probably not the case, but there are similar planets to that, I'm sure, in the Star Wars universe. So I wouldn't be surprised to see something along the lines of a Cloud City on a Bespin.
You know what? This could take us in a completely ridiculous direction, and I don't plan on it. But one thing that hasn't been mentioned at all that I've noticed is like the Rakata, which played such a huge part of the story in the first Knights of the Old Republic. You know, they created the Starforge and all that stuff. I haven't seen really much about that at all in this game. I think that's a beautiful planet to visit. I wonder if that's going to be in the game and if there's going to be any reference to that in the game. You know, they've talked about how they're kind of wrapping up some of the storylines with the comic and getting everybody up to date. But I think it'd be cool to include that in some of the aspects of that story.
Would also be interesting, and it would have like a completely weird atmosphere. Well, not weird, but dark. And you hear of the Kessel Run, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so Kessel is this spice planet, which basically is like in the old trilogy or the original trilogy. Kessel is like this planet where they basically the Empire sends all their prisoners to.
Yeah.
So like if you get sent to the spice mines of Kessel, basically like you're in for hard manual labor for pretty much the rest of your life, and hopefully you'll die fast.
Uh-huh.
And so that would be kind of interesting to see 3,000 years prior to the original trilogy, you know, what Kessel is like and what actually goes on there. I have to imagine there's got to be some type of like gangster operations or something like that.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of interesting. And like the whole Kessel Run thing is important because it's this area in the universe that's just filled with black holes and very dangerous to navigate through. So that'd be kind of interesting to see what they would do with that.
Yeah. And it's right next to the Maw, which, you know, it's where Grand Moff Tarkin built the first Death Star.
Yeah. Yeah, well, there's a whole lot of stuff that actually got built in that. If you read the some of the post-Star Wars trilogy novels, they built something called the Sun Crusher in there, which destroys actual stars, which will destroy the entire solar system of something.
Jesus.
So it like one-ups the Death Star.
Yeah.
They also built the World Devastators there, which were used to attack the Mon Calamari. And
yeah.
It was funny as like, it, like this is just a bit of like Star Wars lore knowledge for you. Like the scientist that built all this stuff, she thought she was doing it. She thought like when she designed the Death Star laser, she was doing it to basically help mining operations for asteroids.
Right.
So, and she was like, I never thought they were going to use this for like...
You designed something that like blows this. Up a planet.
Yeah.
Once it's blown like up, you can't mine anything from it.
It's like this. And then the same thing with the Sun Crusher. It's kind of like... She feels like, oh, I thought it was used to like pretty much get rid of old stars and systems that basically were blocking hyperspace routes, and like we could clear up these systems and open up new routes and things like that if there was no life in the galaxy. And she's like, I never thought, the thought never crossed my mind that they would actually use this weapon to fight.
Yeah.
It's just kind of funny. I mean, you think of talking about them all.
I love stupid people.
Even fictional.
Even fictional stupid people. So I think that's going to about wrap it up for Poll and Stories from the Outer Rim. We had a number of email questions, and I think we've actually answered a few of them. Especially this first one, maybe. So this came from someone who goes by Jedi Master Brishia. They said, hey guys, awesome show. Just wanted to know how... If you were one of the developers, you would personally distinguish the Jedi class from the Sith class. Obviously, the Sith uses abilities exclusive to the dark side of the Force and Jedi from the light, and Sith as a melee, but slash tank. But what would you do to make the Jedi seem and feel different? Well, we already know that the Jedi is also going to be kind of like a melee style class.
Well, I mean, the Sith is as well. I think if I was a developer, the one thing that I would do to emphasize the difference between these two classes is it's really easy, I feel like, to emphasize that something is being dark, because there's a lot of dark side powers that all the Jedi really kind of have access to. It's just, you know, the ones on the light side just choose not to use them because they know that it can lead to destructive habits and things like that. So, like, when you think of Force Lightning or maybe Force, like, some type of Force Drain ability or something that's just, I guess you would say, well, Lightning is about the only one that I can think of now that I think about it.
Yeah.
But even then, just abilities like that really set the tone as something as being a dark side character, and it really separates it from the Jedi. The other thing I would really look at, though, is when you look at a Sith and you look at a Jedi, there's two different, like core elements that are different about their personas, and that is the Sith are very selfish, and the Jedi are very giving to others. And so a Jedi is all about self-sacrifice for the benefit of someone else, whereas the Sith is all about, I'm going to do whatever it takes to help me in the long run. So just based on that, I feel like you could really make the Sith as more of a solo-driven class, something that really doesn't give a lot of advancements or buffs or things like that to other people around him. It's not a support class, and it's basically just a straight up, he does everything on his own, it's self-sufficient, it doesn't help anyone else out, things like that. On the flip side of that, you have the Jedi, and like I said, a Jedi is basically very self-sacrificing, it wants to go out of his way to help other people. The Jedi inspires other people to you know, by giving them more courage or just rallying them in the middle of a fight to make them push forward when they normally wouldn't. So you would think the Jedi class would naturally just have more inspirational abilities. So buffs, maybe some type of if there's like some type of morality thing or something involving that, you would think that the Jedi would help with that a lot. You think the Jedi would have some type of ability to protect others. I would definitely emphasize that with the play structure of the Jedi. Something that would allow the Jedi maybe to sacrifice his life to protect someone else's or something like that. So I think if you look at it those ways, that would be the way I would personally distinguish the two classes if I was developing it.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with everything you say. I think along with all the like abilities and things like that, I think a huge distinction in the game that we end up playing is just going to be in how the story plays out. You know, they may have similar abilities, and their fighting styles may be relatively similar. But I think when it comes to actual story and the things that we're going to be doing, those are going to be very different in nature. Darth Sirius, who had a question for us last week, asked us again this week. Hey, Mos Eisley crew, I was wondering, in Star Wars, do they have holidays, for example, Christmas? They do have holidays, in fact. However, most of them are based around, like, military things or independence, but I've found for the most part that it's definitely limited to planets or groups of planets or systems. So for example, Harvest Day on was celebrated specifically in the city of Mos Eisley on Tatooine to celebrate the year's water harvest. What else? Bunta Eve, which we've all heard about. For Life Day was a Wookiee holiday on Kashyyyk.
Well, I can see where he's going with this, and basically he's probably wondering, are
we going to see holidays in game?
Yeah, similar to like WoW or other games. And you know, they fit it in every other game somehow. If people really want it, I wouldn't be surprised if they stick it in here.
Yeah,
there's going to be a backlash from a lot of the role playing people.
Absolutely,
this isn't part of the game. But I think ultimately, if the majority of the people are going to want it, they're going to find a way to stick it in the game.
Yeah, that's one thing.
There's a lot of people that are into that kind of stuff.
True.
I mean, when you think of World of Warcraft, for example, they celebrate Christmas, they celebrate Halloween, they celebrate New Year's, Chinese New Year's. Independence Day, Easter, just to name a few, Oktoberfest. And so, like, really none of those holidays have anything to do with the actual world of Warcraft, but they somehow find a way to fit it in, and people go along with it. So I wouldn't be surprised if you see something similar with Star Wars.
Yeah, but the difference here is you don't have old turkey neck breathing down your neck going, hey, you can't do this to my universe.
Yeah.
And that if they wanted to, I mean, if there was a just huge fan outcry for it, I'm sure they would find some way to fit it in. But I'm guessing at launch, it's not going to be one of the things they're focusing on.
I doubt it. Especially if this is launching around Christmas time.
Yeah. Yeah. CJ Thraster asked us about the different four force using classes. I think we kind of wrapped that up earlier. I'm of the opinion that we're only going to see two. Zach, I think you're the same way, right?
Yeah, I don't think we're going to see any more.
Yeah.
So it just doesn't make sense to me. I know some people suggested, are we going to see like a force using class that's more of a range type of class, not so much melee, but that just...
I think they're just going to integrate it. Yeah. I don't see them doing different classes just for a different type of play style.
I still like the idea of the other missing Sith class that we haven't got, because there's two left for the Sith. I like the idea of the Infiltrator.
Yeah.
And then for the last class on both sides, I honestly do think they're going to stick some type of officer or diplomat. And like, you think of Princess Leia as being a diplomat, but she could still fight. So this is true. A lot of people go, oh, that would be boring. What are you going to do? I think of her as having... just that role in general as being a support class more than anything. Like, the officer is going to fight, not be as strong of a fighter, but he's going to be inspiring everyone around him. So it's going to be kind of a mix of, it could be a little bit like the Jedi, but I don't know. That's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah. I really don't see any more force classes being announced. I spent a couple hours just looking around Wikipedia and doing some research, and I just didn't see anything that I felt warranted a completely separate class.
Yeah.
I just didn't see anything that was iconic enough for BioWare to say, hey, this is a whole new class that's going to be able to use force powers as well, but they're going to be doing this I just didn't see anything that was drastically different enough that warranted that.
But speaking of possible ideas for another class, Jake Rock sent us in a Twitter thing saying, in regards to the Hunter class, what about a slave trader? Class brings up certain moral issues, but it could work. And actually, that could work, although I don't know if they would do something like that. I think, like you said, the moral issues would outweigh the possibility. But
well, even then, I think, like I was talking about with the Force classes, it's just not a thing that's different enough that would warrant a separate class. And I'm not necessarily sure he's asking about like a completely different class here, just like maybe like a
well, the Hunter class is very popular in MMOs right now. Some type of class that has a pet.
Oh, I keep reading this as if he's talking about like a smuggler.
Oh, okay.
Because he said slave trader. So,
I mean, when Christian was on the show last week, we were talking about possible ideas for a Hunter class to work because the creature, we talked about the rumor of the creature handler.
Uh-huh.
And that's what this is comments probably in regards to.
Right.
I still think having a Hunter class where you have a droid companion is probably the most logical step to take.
Uh-huh.
Or some type of Wookiee companion, but but outside of that, I don't really know how they're going to fit a Hunter class in. This last class for the Galactic Republic is just really boggling my mind.
Yeah.
I have no idea what they're going to go with.
Yeah.
Diplomat's the only thing that I can pull, but nothing else just seems like feasible.
Yeah. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. But as far as this goes, like we've said, Hunter is one of those things that's huge in MMOs right now and RPGs in general. And I think they're going to be looking to fill that type of role with your companion characters.
Yeah.
And as I've said in nearly every episode, we still don't really know anything about companion characters.
No, really don't.
So, I think once we get some more information about companion characters, this question might come back around a little bit more. So our last one from Master Andrew 15, he asked us, what do you think about classes like Jedi and Sith being announced so late instead of being first?
Actually, this doesn't surprise me at all, and I think it was a good on their behalf because everyone knows this is going to be part of the game. When they're first announcing, when they started talking about this game 6 months ago or a year ago or however long ago it was, I mean, the last thing we want to see is more of the same.
Right.
So I'm really glad that they've presented us with the information the way they have, and they haven't just kind of given us all the stuff we expect to be in the game. And instead, they've got us all really excited about it by talking about how it's going to be story-driven, talking about how there's going to be bounty hunter class in it, there's going to be a trooper class in it, the smuggler class. I mean, we kind of aren't surprised by those, but at the same time, it really shows that they're putting an emphasis on all these characters other than just Jedi and Sith.
Yeah. Yeah, so, and
I have no beefs with the way they handle this.
You know, I could go pull that clip from PAX that we played from the PAX episode. You know, they're like, "Is this going to be in the game? Yes. Is this going to be in the game? Yes. Is this going to be in the game? Yes." And it was all things that are normal MMO staples. And you know, when they first announced this game, you know, they have to come out of the gate with something that's different and original.
Well,
that
I
people
mean,
are going to latch on to
Jedi.
Well, yeah, exactly. That's my point. Exactly. You know, they know that we know that it's an Star Wars game. We know that Jedi and Sith are probably going to be in it because there's classes. You know, so you come out of the gate with Bounty Hunter, and then you follow that up with Trooper, and you know these are things that we haven't necessarily seen implemented in this way before. And that's what people can latch onto. So, I mean, but, you know, they're not necessarily the last classes to be announced either. So that might kind of throw my argument out of the window because I think we still have things to see.
Well, the thing with the last class is it's just the most unexpected to me. I don't know. I just can't think of anything that's going to fill that role.
Right.
So I'm really excited to see what, especially this Friday. I don't know if they'll announce
new classes. Yeah, I'm not expecting a new class this week.
Over the next couple months, I think we're going to get some really good new information. Not just like, oh, okay. I think we're going to get something that's like really meaty, something we can chew on for a bit, talk about it for a while. It's going to be really good.
Yeah.
At least I'm hoping.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure of it. that we're within the next month we're gonna have something that basically blows our minds when we come to sit down and record the episode. And it's probably going to be in the form of a class announcement, because I think that's what has everybody sitting on the edge of their seats still for. So, yeah, I think that's going to be about it for episode 9. Unless you had anything else that you wanted to tack on here at the end, Zach.
No, I got nothing else other than... the, just the typical, you can always go to check us out on our website, www.mossisleyradio.com. Send us emails at mossisleyradio@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter and send us messages on Twitter at twitter.com/mossisleyradio. And come join us on our forums.
Yeah, I want to give a forum shout out really quick. It's going to take me a sec to find the thread. We had this guy who I think goes by... Bovive. Yeah. What?
Awkward silence?
Oh, no. It goes by Bovive, and he downloaded this PDF of the Arabic alphabet, yeah, and went through to all the Holonet pages that were up at the time and started decoding what the Arabic was that was in the background. And I thought that was freaking sweet. So shout out to that guy for doing that.
You should read through some of those. The one about I forget what it said, but it was enforcing with a big gun or something like that.
crap. Where was that? Trooper defending the line with a very big gun.
I love it.
Sith groomed for power, bounty hunter extremely dangerous, smuggler wanted by Rogan the Butcher. That's interesting. That could be a story nod. There are also stuff for the planets. Tython said Force Wars nearly destroyed the planet. Korriban, the greatest Sith Lord entombed here. Hutta Fathra seeks the downfall of Nemro the Hutt.
There's something about danger lies in a volcano.
Yeah, Ord Mantell. This is one that really stuck out to me that I'm super excited about. So Ord Mantell says chaos comes from the volcano. This is particularly interesting because outside of the city, most of the planet is really rural. There's lots of mountains and volcanoes. And when the Treaty of Coruscant was signed, most of the planet's people decided to stay loyal to the Republic. But there are separatists that decided to start a civil war for independence for whatever reason. And it was all these rural people who were coming, you know, who lived out in the middle of nowhere. So that was definitely one of the things that stuck out as like a possible storyline. You know, I was like, I can imagine being a trooper dropping in, you know, on like the edge of this volcano with all this crazy stuff happening on the planet. And I have to like fight off these natives. That was cool. So huge shout out to Bovive for doing that and posting it. That was really exciting to read. And with that, I think I'm going to call it a wrap. So we'll see you guys again in a couple of weeks. Look out for the mini episode with the poll coming up soon.
So take care. Phillies, beat the Yankees. Yankees suck.
All right, see you guys. Take care.
Take it easy.
Yeah.
Makeshift sounds. Dude, you're sounding really wonky.
That's because you're not hearing me through the thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's up with the sound? You just don't have them up?
I don't have them queued up. Sorry.
Worst case scenario, it's ghetto. We come over to your apartment, get drunk, and then wake up the next day.
That sounds like a fantastic decision.